We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
God bless every person here today and everyone tuning in online. Bless every part of their life, that every area of their life would bring glory to your name. Help us, Lord, as we go out into the world to be more like you and let the world see you and your love through each of us in all that we do. Thank you, God. Let it all be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and clap your hands to the Lord. Lord is so good. Oh, man, don't you love the words to that song? Your goodness, he's running after, keeps running after me. Oh, man, that just describes it. When I look back over my life, the Lord has just been running after me with his goodness. Some people would tell you that the Lord is running after you to hit you with his Bible or to zap you with his finger. No, the Lord is running after you with his goodness. Isn't God good? Can we clap our hands one more time for the Lord? Oh, welcome everybody joining us online. We love you guys. You are at Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm glad to be with you today. I don't know what I would do if I weren't here. I would miss you guys. So I'm glad to be here. We're in the third week of a sermon series we're calling Deal with the Devil. The devil makes deals through words, hearts, minds, and actions. Instead of a physical contract, the devil seeks spiritual agreement. Amos 3, verse 3, I'm quoting it every week. You ought to learn this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Just by walking together, they form a silent pact,
that's right,
a silent agreement. We are in agreement with the devil when we have begun to walk with him. When we have begun to walk with him, we have made a deal with the devil. In week one, we told you that the devil deals with pride. Pride is choosing self-will over God's will. Self-will, pride, it leads to disobedience. Disobedience leads to rebellion. That's what we talked about the second week. The devil deals with rebellion. Last week we told you the devil deals in the rejection of God's authority. That's what rebellion is. Anytime you actively disobey God's word, you are entering into rebellion and walking in agreement with that no good lying devil. Today I want to tell you the devil deals with deception. Everyone said deception.
Deception.
It's no surprise that the devil is a liar. There is a joke. It's used on politicians and lawyers mainly. It goes like this. How can you tell a politician or a lawyer is lying? Maybe you know the answer, right? Their lips are moving. Just that simple. Now, I know we're in a charged political climate, but my gosh, I wouldn't trust a politician as far as I could throw him right now. I'm just telling you that right there, just as bipartisanly as I can. If their lips are moving, they lying. Look at them and say, they lying. They lying. If the devil is speaking, you can be sure that he is lying. When the devil shows up in the garden, it should be no surprise to us that he, in fact, lies. Jesus calls the devil the father of lies in John 8:44. He has a patent. He invented lying. He did it. The original liar is the devil, and he wants you to fall prey to his deception. Before the devil lied to Adam and Eve, he lied to someone else, though. Well, Bible scholars, push up your scholarly nerd glasses. Who did the devil lie to? Before he lied to Adam, before he lied to Eve, he lied to someone else. Who was the first person the devil ever lied to? Do you know? Well, without taking answers, I'll just tell you. The first person the devil ever deceived was himself. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 13 through 14. Man, we've been around this verse a lot. It's very usable, this chapter. You said in your heart, speaking to the devil, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Devil, you done lied to yourself. Devil, you have just deceived yourself. It says, I will descend. I will ascend. Completely wrong, because all he's done is descend. He says, my throne will be above. In fact, he says that he'll be enthroned at all. It is determined that that was a lie. Mori Povich comes out with a little lie detector. The survey says that that was a lie. And now the crowd goes, oh, he's a liar. He is not enthroned above God.
No.
He's not enthroned at all. No throne. In fact, the kingdom he has right now is just a temporary kingdom. Temporary kingdom. In fact, the earth that he rules on right now, it's going to go away and a new earth is going to come, right? He's going to ruin this earth so bad that we're just going to have to, let's get a new one. Honey, let's not buy used. The devil slept in this earth. Let's get a new one. All right. He says, like the Most High. You talk about a lie. He said he is going to be like the Most High. That's the worst lie of all. That is laughable. Devil, you've deceived yourself. The devil is a liar, and the first person he ever lied to was himself. I think we can all kind of relate to that, because the people we lie to the most are the people, the person we see in the mirror. That's for another sermon series, perhaps. The devil is deceived, and all he brings is deception. The devil is prideful, and all he brings is pride. The devil is rebellious, and all he brings is rebellion. Do you see a pattern here?
Yeah.
That everything the devil offers flows out of the abundance of who he is. That's how it is with us, by the way. The devil, I'll add another one to it. I find this verse very fascinating. It says, the devil is desolate, and all he brings is desolation. Where is that found? Well, Daniel 9:27. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now, it's talking about the Antichrist here. It's talking about the devil incarnate. He is going to make it desolate, even until the consummation. That means when it's all said and done, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The words there from Daniel are really interesting, because it says the devil is going to bring desolation. He is going to make things desolate, but the punishment that is poured out is going to be poured out upon the desolate. And it's talking about who? The same one who brings desolation. He is desolate, and it's no surprise that all he brings is desolation. I'm telling you, he can't do anything else. He's got no other job skills. This is who he is. God prophetically reveals to Daniel that the devil will bring the abomination of desolation. And then the last words of this chapter reveal what the devil really is. The devil is, he's desolate. So, of course, he only brings desolation. So you can be sure that the one who is deceived, that when his lips are moving, he is speaking desolation. He is speaking deception. He is speaking pride. He is speaking lies. He is speaking rebellion. The devil has nothing else to offer. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, where we see this serpent show up. Beginning at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Like all great liars, the devil adds some truth to his lies. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Look at it. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. The devil said it. Well, guess what? Their eyes were opened when they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two verses later, Genesis 3 and 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So guess what? In the midst of his lying, he throws out a little bit of truth. The devil was right about their eyes being opened. The devil added some truth to his lie, but there is always a lie in his truth. I'm telling you that we are living in a my truth generation. Has anybody heard that term thrown around? Well, this is my truth and this is your truth. Be very careful when someone starts talking about my truth. Because my truth means not really true. My truth means it's only subjectively true. It's only true from my viewpoint. Okay? Not that we don't mind people's viewpoints, but don't call it truth. It is only true to them, and how dare you point out that it's not true? That hurts my feelings, and that is the biggest crime you can do in today's society. You cannot hurt someone's feelings. Unless you're married to them. All right. We know the story of the emperor's clothes, right? Right? Emperor gets fooled into thinking he's got a beautiful collection of clothes, but actually he is naked, right? So the king was naked, and no one had the guts to point out and save the king from further embarrassment, right? You would have thought, like, one of the first people to see him, no, you're naked, right? Today, I wonder if anyone would tell the king, or if we would just stand around and lecture anyone that wanted to tell the king that this was his truth. This is the king's truth, and how dare you have any viewpoint on it. This is his truth. I would tell you that that would not be really helpful. That's kind of the moral of the story, that you could actually be kind in being quiet, but actually it is the furthest thing from kind because it lets people continue in their falsehood. It lets them continue being lied to. It lets them continue in their embarrassment. All right, so we need the truth. Do you agree with that? Gosh, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. That had to get said at some point. Check, got that out of the way. We need the author of truth, don't we? Who is the author of truth? It's God. We need God's truth. When we're talking about my truth, his truth, their truth, it's really about God's truth. I think the word says this: call every man a liar, but God's word true. I'm telling you, as a Christian, we have to have that mindset. And not done ugly. We're not being mean when we say it. No, listen. Call me a liar when I say something that's not in the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. Amen. That is good. The defining truth. I want you to picture the moment in the garden: serpent, Eve, Adam, fruit. Eve could have cried out for God. She could have cried out for his truth. But she did not. And today, in this topsy-turvy world where we can't decide the pronouns to use, we could also cry out to God and his truth. But are we? We just flowing with the culture? Or are we calling out for God? We're in the very same situation that Eve's in. Politically correct seems to be the order of the last few decades. I'm all for kindness, but we have to have truth. And we need to call on the Lord, just like Eve should have in the garden. Let's look back at verse 5, Genesis 3. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Next little phrase. And you will be like God. The devil says, you will be like God. Is that what he says? Is this true or false? This is a falsehood. It's a tricky falsehood because Adam and Eve were already made in God's image. Genesis 1:26. They were made in his image. The devil, he's the one who said he wanted to be like the Most High. But here are some innocent creatures that, let's face it, they're not smarter than a snake. Those sweet little innocent dumb creatures that are humans. Their names Adam and Eve. And without even trying, these very simple, naive creatures that are like, oh, I think we'll call this one a giraffe. Like that's what's happening in the world at this point, right? Yeah. These simple, naive creatures are already more like God than the devil, and they aren't even trying. No. They aren't trying to be like God. No. The Creator has made them to be in his image. Without even trying, they are more like God than the devil ever will be. I'm telling you, you find me the rankest sinner on the face of the planet, and they are more like God than the devil is already, without even trying, because you were made in his image. The devil wishes he were you. This reminds me of the phrase used by many scholarly theologians. They hate us because they ain't us. Think of Spurgeon. Spurgeon said that one. Spurgeon. They hate us. Somebody get some street in them. Say it. They hate us because they ain't us. Come on, somebody say it. Nobody said it. Just left their pastor hanging on that. The devil hates you. You know why he hates you? Because it's not because he hates what you have. He wants what you have. He hates that you have it and that he doesn't. We call that coveting. That's actually, you know, in the Ten Commandments. Yep, absolutely. You have a treasure he wishes he could get his hands on. And because he doesn't measure up to God's creation, he hates you. That's why you didn't even have to do. Did Eve do anything to the serpent? Did Adam do anything to him? Did they make fun of him? Did they step on his tail? Nothing like that. No, he hated them because he was not like them. That's it. The devil hates you. And I want to tell you today about con men. How to work a con. Every con is about finding something you want and fooling the owner to give up the treasure. They call them a mark in the con game. You find a mark. You want to find an easy mark. How do we know this? We've seen movies. They do this all the time, right? You find an easy mark. You find somebody that's got a treasure. Maybe they don't realize how valuable it is, but they are being careless with their treasure. The devil wants what you have, and he sees somebody with a treasure that is being careless with the treasure. Adam and Eve did not treasure the garden of God. They did not treasure walks with God. They did not treasure the gifting of God. When a con man finds someone who is careless with his treasure, this saying becomes soon, very, very quickly, a fool and their money are soon parted. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Look at this last phrase there. It says, knowing good and evil. Everyone said knowing good and evil. Point this final point out on his lies here. There is deception in these words, knowing good and evil. Do you catch it? Here it is. Adam and Eve did not yet know evil, but they already knew goodness. To know God is to know goodness. He is goodness. Everything that is good is Him. Everything that is good and perfect comes down from the Father of lights, the Bible says. They did not know evil, but they already knew goodness. Once again, they were being lied to. Once again, the trouble was they were careless with their treasure. I want to teach you about lies and deception. What is a lie? Simply, it's to speak falsely. A lie is the opposite of the truth. If someone says the opposite of the truth, that is a lie. If it is less than true, it is a lie. In Genesis 1, God spoke. When He spoke, the world came into being, didn't it? God spoke and light was. God spoke and life was. God spoke and everything that was made when God spoke. God created the world with the word of His truth. God never speaks falsely. Every time God opens His mouth, truth comes out. When you speak a lie, when you and I speak a lie, here's the real bad part of lying. You become like the father of lies, the devil. You start to speak chaos when you lie. You start to speak destruction when you lie. You start to speak death. You were created to speak truth like your Father in heaven. Doesn't that make sense? You were made in His image. He speaks truth and life comes. That means that when you speak, you are to speak truth, and truth gives way to life. When you speak truth, you are tapping into the same life-giving power that created the world. My goodness, I wish I understood this sooner in life. That's why you don't lie. That's why you speak the truth. Jesus, as He stood before a man named Pontius Pilate, He said this in John chapter 18, verse 37. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact," underline this, "the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." Somebody say, testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus was born. Why was He born? Jesus came into the world. Why did He come into the world? According to Himself, He came into the world to testify to the truth. The same God who spoke into darkness and light came is the same God who is in Jesus Christ, and He spoke life and light into a dark world. He speaks light and life into our hearts. And what is God? What is Jesus? He is also the Son of God. And who are we? We are children of God. Do you understand that? Do you believe that today? That we are children of God. So lies should not come out of our mouth. But we, like Jesus, should testify to the truth. And our mouths filled with truth should give way to life. And there is no greater truth to give way to life than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do. But a lie is the opposite of the truth. When you lie, you're trying to get someone to believe something untrue. Deception, though, it's a little different. Let's look at deception. Deception is an act aimed at concealing distorting or misinterpreting the truth. Deception's a little different than lying. Lying requires a mouth and a tongue to speak. Deception sometimes doesn't have to say a word. The devil lies. He feeds you something that is the opposite of true. But more difficult to understand and determine is the deception of the devil. The devil will take the very word of God and use it against you. When he uses it, he makes sure to conceal certain parts of it. He makes sure to distort certain parts of it. And he will misinterpret all of it. The devil wants you to come into agreement with how he uses the word of God, how he uses his lie. Is this making sense to you tonight? Someone say amen if it is. We need to deal with the devil. No one is better example. No one is better at it than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus was physically hungry, physically weak, isolated in the wilderness for 40 days after his baptism, he was away from his disciples. It says the tempter came to him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Let me lay this out for you. What Satan does here is he distorts the truth. Deception is distorting, concealing, misinterpreting the truth. Right here we have an example of the devil distorting the truth. Here's that distortion. He says, if you are this, then you should do this. If you are this, because I asked, you should didn't do this. Do you see that argument? If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. Is that what he did? Yes. Now, do you get this, that those are two completely unrelated things? Yes. Who you are in God and stones being turned into bread?
That's right.
They are not related things. Do you agree?
Right.
I don't think that's insane. I am a child of God. Why? Because he's granted me new birth in water and in spirit,
yeah,
by his grace.
Yeah.
And that is true even if I can't do a miracle.
That's right.
I don't have to be born of the water and spirit and turn stones into bread. And then suddenly that means I'm a son of God.
No.
Do you understand this? But that's exactly what he brings to the Lord. And he brings things like that to you. If you really are a Christian, you know what? You shouldn't be having trouble with your telephone bill. He does this to you. If you really are, you know what? You should have had a lot more success getting that last job. If you really are, you know, if you are this, then this. That's the lie he gives you. And it's a distortion.
Yes.
The devil tries to distort the truth by offering a false equivalence.
Yes.
Who you are in God is not equal to the latest, greatest miracle you were around. No, the latest, greatest miracle is always, I'm a child of God, and he's not giving up on me, and he loves me. Actually, you know, Pentecostal circles, we get a little excited about miracles, and we should get excited about miracles, but I'm telling you, you should never yawn about the faithfulness of God every morning. His mercy is new every morning. We should never. The latest, greatest miracle is always, God has not given up on me yet, a sinner like me. The devil, he tries to distort the truth with a false equivalence. And he adds to that a crafty method. He tries to seduce Jesus with what Jesus lacks and would naturally desire. What is Jesus lacking on this wilderness time?
Food.
What would his body be desiring in this time? Food. And so he tries to seduce the Lord with what he desires and what he is lacking. Does the devil do that? You bet he does. What is it that you're lacking? You be careful with it, because the devil will use that. I've seen it happen in so many young people. Because they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Oh, man, the devil will just sneak right in there with what they don't have and what they desire. And suddenly they'll be right out of the church. Anybody ever see? Raise your hand if you ever seen that. Come on. We've seen that episode many, many times, right? But Jesus, he counteracts the deception with truth. He says these words, "It is written, and I don't live on bread, but on my relationship with God. I live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Do you see the devil? Oh, the devil just didn't know what buzzsaw he was running into when he met up with Jesus right there. Jesus handled all of it. He handled the distortion. And here's what's really true. My life comes from my relationship with the Father. My relationship and my life inside my body comes from the bread that he gives me. And that's every word that proceeds from his mouth. Guess what, devil? That life can never has come out of your mouth. The devil deals in deception. He distorts the truth. He also misinterprets the truth. Let's read on verse 5 through 7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." See, the devil has his own "it is written." Tricky devil. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So I want you to understand this. The devil, he pulls one verse without any context and tries to get Jesus to disobey another verse in the Bible. This is called not rightly dividing the word of truth. The devil will misinterpret the truth. Be aware of these people that don't believe in the Bible, but will pluck one verse out of it and try to put you in a quandary over it. Oh yeah. Well, how can you believe something like that? One thing completely out of context. The devil loves to only quote a little bit of the verse out of context. Let's look at the verse the devil quoted. What do you say? He quoted that verse. Let's go to it. It's in Psalm 91, verse 11. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Would you look at that? The devil absolutely quoted it correctly. He didn't miss a beat, didn't miss a word. Christians, we should know the word better than the devil. We should know it, should love it. So the devil takes this verse to try to get the Lord to live foolishly. Because throwing yourself off a building is foolish. Right? Oh, call the Lord whatever you want. But he did not live foolishly. He lived for the purpose of all humanity.
Yes, hallelujah. That's good.
But Jeremy, you know he plucked that right out without context. And I'm going to tell you, the devil stopped one verse short. I wonder why he stopped one verse short. This other verse is right in the same context. I wonder, you see, these verses are not about showing who you are by living foolishly and the Lord rescuing you. These verses are about fighting the enemy. That when you fight the enemy, he will give his angels charge about you. And the worse the enemy throws at you, an angel will step between you and the enemy and defeat not only the enemy, but save you from even striking your foot. That's the context. Let's look at the next verse that the devil didn't quote. Verse 13. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Let me read it one more time. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Who is the one who is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? It's the devil, 1 Peter 5 and 8. And who is that serpent that shows up in the garden? It is the devil. The context of these verses is that God is going to protect you as you stand against the devil, and you will end up trampling him under your feet. Which, by the way, is the very first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15. You will put enmity between the serpent's seed and between Eve's seed, and her seed, which is Jesus, will crush his head. Isn't it what it says? My goodness. See, the devil, it seems like he misinterprets truth. Would you agree? And he tries to get you to stand with him. He will use a verse, pluck it out of the context of you are standing against him, but he will read part of it to try to get you to stand with him. That is called twisting scripture. Sadly, the devil's not the only one to use that tactic. Amen, amen. Yes. And Jesus says, no deal, basically. It is also written. You see, you have to be smarter than the devil on how to use your Bible. The Bible is your weapon, not his. Amen. Reclaim your weapon. It is also written. And I will not test God. I want to tell you, deception is distorting and it's misinterpreting. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
It is also concealing truth. And sure enough, his next example does that. Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What does the devil do here? He conceals the truth. He hides truth here. He says to Jesus, I will give you all of this if you will worship me. I'll give you every kingdom. I'll give you all of the earth. It'll all be yours if you right now will worship me. Sadly, I can't read that verse without remembering I remember you shared this to me once, that there is one of those daily scripture readings that teach you about, you know, God's goodness. It's like God's promises. It's like a daily calendar, and you rip it to the next day, and there's a new verse, and it's your verse to concentrate on. It's a verse about God's blessing. And you one of those days, somebody took a picture and they put it on the internet. They took a verse. The next verse was, if you will worship me, then I will give all this to you. But the problem was, they were actually using a verse in the Bible, but it was a verse not spoken by God. It was a verse not spoken by Jesus. It was a verse spoken by Satan, the devil. That is embarrassing that they did that, but that is a perfect example of how some people use the word of God. They don't want to really know what it says. They just want to use it for a quick blessing, a quick pick-me-up, a quick win of an argument. Let me tell you, that is not what the sword of truth is for. My goodness. So the devil, he conceals the truth. He says, I'm going to give you all this if you worship me. What does he conceal? The truth is that all of it already belongs to Jesus. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. Everything was made by him and for him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And we have a promise that all the nations, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day, Jesus is going to come back to earth, and he is going to be king not over a small portion of the world, but a king over all of the world. And that's the truth. Oh, man. I'm telling you, the devil will promise you things that are already yours. Con man. Oh, he promises you joy. He promises you peace. He promises you pleasure. He promises you riches, power, and love. Oh my goodness, we could spend the rest of today just with those few verses showing how those are promises of God, not from the devil. And they are yours already. You don't have to wait for peace. It's yours already. You don't have to wait for power. It's yours already. You don't have to wait for the promises of the devil. You've already got the superior promises of God. Oh, God has already given us these things. My gosh, my gosh. Child of God, take dominion over the things God has given you. If the devil comes up to you and promises you something that the Lord has already given you, if you aren't walking in the things of the Lord and taking dominion over the things that he's given you, you may not realize you already have it. I'm telling you, healing is already yours. Victory is already yours. Life, prosperity is already yours. We ought to know the Lord well enough to actually look at the devil and laugh him out of the room, saying, you thought you were going to win me over with that one? You don't even have that to give. All of that belongs to the Lord already, and I'm his kid. I'm an heir according to the promise. Man, we need to deal with the devil. We need to deal with the devil. Did Jesus deal with the devil? Does he still deal with the devil? Do you think Jesus has any trouble with that guy? No, not at all. Jesus shows us how to deal with the devil. Number one, Jesus walks in agreement with God and his word. He walks in agreement with God and his word. And that's how he defeats the devil. He never lets the devil slip in between his agreement with God, our Father, and the word of the Father. Not once. Second, Jesus also walks in dominion. The same dominion that a sinless Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden, Jesus walks in that dominion. We've preached about that before. I believe all of hell, the reason they took notice about this man named Jesus was not because he had crowds, not because he proclaimed to be a Christ. Many had proclaimed to be a Christ, but they sensed something in him that they didn't think still existed. He had the holiness of God on him. Every man had fallen into sin, but he had the righteousness, the holiness of God, the authority of God, dominion. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. In fact, the crowds that gathered around him, Alex, what would they always say? They would say, what is this? He has a new teaching and it's with authority. They would even say, the demons tremble at his authority. Who is this? They would go, man, we have someone with authority. Let me spell that out for you. Because they had plenty of teaching, but they had zero authority. The Pharisees were teaching day after day. They met in groups, and you could be a part of whatever Pharisee and sit around them and learn from whatever Pharisee you wanted to. And you know what the Pharisees would do? They would say, well, this old rabbi so-and-so used to say this. And they'd go, oh, that's really good. That was very enlightening. But Jesus comes up and he says, not some old dead rabbi said this. He says, the Lord says this. Now let me explain it to you completely. Sometimes he would say, you've heard it said this way, but let me say unto you. And their jaws would hit the ground because his authority was unlike anything they had ever seen. Dominion. Authority. When we look at this Jesus, that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have that kind of dominion. We are supposed to speak to mountains and they move. We are supposed to tell rivers to part. We are supposed to tell dry bones to get up and live again. That's what we're supposed to do. That is the truth about who you are in the Lord. So he walks in agreement with God. He walks in dominion. And then third, Jesus loves truth. Say those three words. Jesus loves truth. Now say these words. Love the truth. Look at somebody. Say, love the truth. Love the truth. I told you the devil is a con man looking for someone who is careless with their treasure. Do you treasure the truth of God, or are you careless? Do you love the truth of God? God has available to you. I don't care what denomination you're of. I don't care how you've sinned in your life. What I'm telling you right now is true for you. God has available for you the Holy Spirit, which he calls in John 16, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. That means that you could have truth living inside of you. I'm not talking a truth. A is the first letter of the English alphabet. Oh, store that truth inside my heart. No, I'm not talking about that. The source of all truth. The personified truth of the entire universe. Living inside of you, that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit, it says that it will lead you and guide you into all truth. Do you want that? It's available to you. Absolutely available to you. Do you have the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Let me tell you, you can start to make people nervous when you start talking about the Spirit. You say, do you want the Spirit of God? And they're like, oh, yes, that's very good. Do you want to walk in the Spirit? And they're like, oh, yes, that's good. That's really good. And then you start saying some other thing. Do you want to pray in the Spirit? And they're like, I don't know, maybe. Do you want to worship in the Spirit? Do you want to live in the Spirit? So now you're not living by fleshly things, but by the Spirit. See, it gets deeper really quick. And some denominations draw lines on that. Can we just erase all those denominations? Say, yes, I want your Spirit. I want all that it speaks. I want it to lead me and guide me into all truth. I am done drawing a line saying, God, only lead me into this truth. Lead me and guide me into all of the truth. My God, my God. We need that. We need to be that kind of church. The world needs that kind of church inside of it. The Spirit of Truth is treasure. Are you careless with it? The church says, the Bible says that we have a treasure hidden inside earthen vessels. That's your body. It's the excellency of his power. He's talking about the Holy Spirit is a treasure. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 9, it's talking about the Antichrist here. Talking about the devil himself showing up on earth. It says the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. Man, that's such a good choice of words there. A singular lie. What was that first lie? I'm going to be like the Most High. What was that first lie? I'm going to sin. I'm telling you, the devil is still working on that first lie. He has never moved on from it. Every other thing he's ever done has been from that first original lie. Oh, he hasn't even come up with a better lie. Everything serves the lie. Reading on, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. Why do they perish? You pay attention to this next part. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. They will perish. There will be people perish at the hands of the Antichrist. Why? It's not because he was so powerful. It's not because his signs and wonders were just too strong. It's not because he outnumbers us. Why did they perish? They perished for one simple reason. They refused to love the truth. Do you love the truth today?
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.